Die Groot Breakfast. Groter as die paddel in jou straat. Groot FM 90.5.
Cherry Swims en Bad Dreams en het hier op Groot FM 90.5. And the irony is, I do think that a lot of companies, a lot of parents have bad dreams when it comes to dealing with the Gen Z. And I was calling it the Gen Z because that's the millennial in me, Marco, because you, have you heard people speaking about the Facebook? Or the Instagram.
Yes, I have.
okay, I don't think I'm that bad. With us this morning on Die Groot Breakfast, we just told them off air, we've been looking forward to this conversation for so long.
Quite a while, yeah.
Because we've got Gen Zs in our office, and we do tend to rip them and have a little bit of fun teasing. So I'm 35. Divan, you are how old now?
27.
So Divan says that he is on the fence between Gen Z and millennial.
Yeah, I think Marco can identify me better as or categorize me better.
I've got bad news for you, Divan.
Ah, boo! Boo!
No, you are unfortunately a part of Gen Z.
Got it. Well, at least now, Sharanika, you can understand me better. Marco's going to help you this morning so you and I can have a better communication line.
Listen, after this interview today, your marriage is going to be better. Your job's going to be better. Everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
So your head is going to be so big and your ego is going to be so big after this conversation. Marco Stavro, so you are a... This is so difficult to actually describe because you're an entrepreneur. You are an incredible speaker. I think you have single-handedly changed the minds of so many, from millennials to boomers, business people of all ages with regards to how we see Gen Z. But before we get to that massive CV of yours, let's go back to the beginning. Most 13-year-olds are playing Minecraft. You didn't.
Well, I did, and I do want to say that I did have a normal childhood. I think it's very, very important that, number one, whoever's listening to this doesn't compare their child or their situation to mine. I think everyone is on their own journey, and we're all, you know, figuring out our lives and figuring out our paths. And as long as we have purpose and have meaning and, you know, are getting rewarded for that, then I think that's what's the most important. But yes, I did start my journey very young. I had my first podcast officially on Apple Podcasts and hosting. I did over 70 episodes, mostly guests from the US during the age of 13 to 15, and actually turned that into an agency. I was selling PR services. And then I decided to leave high school. I went to St. Vivian's College in Bryanston at the end of grade 10, just because of COVID. And also I found this incredible system, which was Cambridge Study Centers. And I just felt that I really needed to take the leap of faith and just go for both my business and just the career I had ahead of me. And then I got accepted into Henley Business School, which I'm sure we can chat about. Mm-hmm. And so that takes me kind of to where I am today, where I'm running my business full time, and I have a small team and an amazing investors who have backed me. And so, yeah.
I think that's one of the most impressive things about you, Marco, is the fact that you went to Henley Business School then, and then you have this entrepreneurial spirit. You know this is what you want to do. But how on earth then did you start a venture? Because now you need backing. Now you need cash. Ideas are only worth so much.
Yeah. So, you know, I always say that the best thing a young person can do is actually do what we call an entrepreneurship apprenticeship. So if you want to become an entrepreneur, you should go and work for an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
You know, typically if they have between 50 and 100 employees, and just get a bit of exposure to the reality of running a business and what it takes. And even if there's something that you want to do. I mean, I wanted to be a lawyer for so long until I went to Weber Wenzel, and then I said, absolutely not.
Yeah.
But until you go and do I speak to so many parents that phone me and email me and say, Marco, you know, my kid doesn't know what to do or he's lost. And I say to them, okay, tell me their weekly schedule. Like, what are they actually doing outside of the school environment? Because unfortunately, it's such a bubble and it doesn't expose us to a lot of the reality of the real world. And so I just want to say to parents and young people that are listening, go and get out of the house, you know, just whatever it is, whether it's working for a paint shop or, you know, there's no hierarchy of one is better than the other, but just figure out yourself and take the time to really reflect. And I think that's what I did so well. That's what my parents and my mentors kind of got me to do so well. And then I was so lucky in the fact that Standard Bank, I was at a Standard Bank event, and one of the executives said to me, Marco, we believe we don't have great relationships with our young clients. The only reason we believe that these young clients are our clients are because their parents are with us. And so then they tend to join the bank. And so they said to me, can you help us with connecting with our younger clients? And that's where I literally stemmed this whole business and the Gen Z guy and everything that I do stem from, because the market told me that there was this problem. And since that point, about 3.5 years ago, it's just been nonstop.
That's incredible. And if you've never heard the name Marco Stavro before, I can promise you, you're going to be putting this guy's name into conversations after this specific conversation, because
very kind.
I think at the end of the day, your company is literally called Gen Link, and that's what it is.
Yes. It's linking generations.
Linking generations. But as we do know that boomers and millennials, we don't think anything's wrong with us, Marco, just saying. So we are going to dive into specifically Gen Z and the information that you have, the research that you've done, the insights that you have right after this. Bly net waar jy is. Ek kan jou beloof, jou besigheid het hierdie paar minute nodig.
Die Groot Breakfast, sterker as jou eerste oggend koffie. Groot FM 90.5.
Shem Thomas and Coastline op Groot FM 90.5. This is someone that we have on the line joining us this morning, showing us that what we think the borders of a coastline is completely in our minds, because we usually think there is no way that we will successfully communicate and reach Gen Zs. But the man that's talking to us this morning, Marco Stavro, I keep wanting to say genius, and I told you that I really don't want to just keep feeding your ego. So let's just go with expert on everything Gen Z. How does that sound for you?
Sounds great. Thank you.
Marco, so one of the main things that we tend to think is the fact that Gen Zs cannot wait for everything or anything. It needs to happen now. It needs to happen yesterday. So to that end, give me an elevator pitch.
Yes.
Who are Gen Z?
So let's take a step back. I don't think these terminologies that people use sometimes can confuse us. And at the end of the day, we are all human beings, and human beings, you know, have a lot of the same traits and characteristics and history. So I think my message has always been that there are some major things that I talk about. But at the end of the day, you know, parents and people who've lived in this world and experienced, they have great knowledge. And this divide that we think is so big, yes, there is a divide. But at the same time, I think just the values and principles that work will continue to work for generations to come. So yes. I think that's where I want to start. And then in terms of Gen Z, this term, you know, I just like to simplify it and say it's people between the ages of 13 and 30 years old. And yes, there are people on the cusp. So anyone from like 28 to 30, they might have some tendencies of both millennials and Gen Z. But just to simplify the terms, and what's more important than the timeline and the dates is actually what we call generational defining moments. And these moments were events such as the 2008 crash, which obviously Gen Z's parents experienced, the internet, the smartphones, and then, you know, COVID-19. And these events really shaped the way that young people think today. So if we think about what COVID-19 did to just people's views on relationships and loneliness, what smartphones have done. So there was a period that I love to speak about, which is called the Great Rewiring. Between 2010 and 2015, there was a study shown that young people's brains actually changed because their parenting styles were different. So we went from a much more protective parenting style. You know, parents didn't let their kids to go out and to fall and to go through hardship. Mm. And then, you know, they spent just so much more time on digital devices, and it changed the way that our brains actually work.
Marco, I have an interesting just follow-up question on that, right? So a lot of criticism that Gen Zs get is that they are very image-driven, right? Now, I saw, do we still call it a tweet? That's maybe a good question. Is it an X or a tweet? I saw a tweet that you put out that says Gen Z is the single greatest generation of fake entrepreneurs you gave an entire explanation regarding that. So based on that, and based on the criticism that they are so image-focused, why do you think that is, and where do you think the misunderstanding or the divide comes in there between the generations?
Yeah, so I mean, in our recent research paper we did, we asked 1,000 respondents, 50% male, 50% woman, how much time do they spend on social media every day? And, you know, a large majority of them said over 5 hours every single day. I think the number was 70%. And so, you know, it's just a crazy fact that what social media does to us is it creates this thing called social comparison theory. So yes, it was 70% spend more than 5 hours a day on social media. And the social comparison theory states that young people are making decisions not based on their own values and own thinking, but because of what other people think or believe. And so we look at that, what that does to us is we no longer are getting influenced by we like something. No, it's because our favorite influencer or our favorite person on social media likes it. It's because our friend group. So, you know, my talks, I always say to companies, stop trying to target individuals. Start targeting Gen Z communities if you want to influence them.
Sure.
To that end, my brain is completely like broken with what you said about the physical changes in how our kids' brains were rewired. If you could go into that a little bit, because obviously we spoke about now how important digital is, and you did the research on that. But how has their brains been influenced since then?
So the book is called The Anxious Generation. As a professor called Jonathan Haidt goes into this study for those more interested in going into further detail. But I'll give you just a quick synopsis. So essentially what happened was this overprotective parenting and then this isolation caused such anxiety and such change of chemicals in our brain and, you know, like the psychology around that, that then we started behaving different. Our behavior changed. And if we just look at the anxiety and depression rates across the board, not only around young people, but just everywhere, people are feeling more isolated than ever before. They're having, I mean, the average American male's got one close friend. More and more young people don't believe in marriage. I think it's 50% of Gen Z don't actually believe in the concept of marriage. And so there's like this commitment, less people committing. There's this hardship element that young people are not willing to go through hard things. And that comes back to why young people want to take jobs. And, you know, looking at trends, we're seeing more young people traveling the world, using their laptop, building businesses through AI and, you know, crypto and all these different things. And so back to the question around this fake entrepreneurship thing, I'm seeing so much more young people doing things, whether it's business or relationships, for the wrong reasons, with the wrong intentions. And I think that's where they're going to fall flat. You know, if I think about my journey, I never did this for the success or for the money or the fame. And it was always because I just so curious. I loved learning about business. I loved doing this research. I loved listening to podcasts. And then everything was just a result of that, you know? Yeah. And I think that's really important, is we're undermining people's gifts and people's uniqueness because we believe that to be a lawyer or to be an entrepreneur is more important.
That's exactly what I wanted to get to now, because you mentioned two important things now. The first one is obviously being content, being happy within yourself, and the Gen Z generation struggling with that specifically. And also on the other side, you know, we spoke about entrepreneurship now, but just alluding to more being image driven, and those two they create quite a deadly combo, right? Because a lot of people go into the career. I have friends who have gone into the wrong career path, something they are deeply, deeply unhappy about, just for the image of, as you mentioned, being a lawyer, being a doctor, being a dentist, being a chartered accountant. And I think, especially in the workplace, that's quite a deadly combo if you have people that are there for you know, what they believe to be the correct image, but they are deeply unhappy within their career space.
And a lot of it also stems from just financial pressure. You know, if we look at the unemployment rates, if we look at inflation, you know, these are big macroeconomic, it's never been tougher. If I look at just my research around communities, like before, families were supporting each other. The costs of creating business, of doing life, has just increased as we've globalization and just isolation has occurred. But influencers, I mean, if you ask your children, many parents who are listening to this can attest to this, many of them want to become influencers or creators. I mean, 57% of Gen Z want to be social media influencers or streamers or creators. So there's this whole new job market that's opening up. That's actually really real. You know, it's a real form of getting financial remuneration, and it's actually a form of livelihoods. And I think for a lot of parents and a lot of people in the workspace, they just, it's so foreign to them. It's they don't understand Roblox and why their kids are addicted to it. They don't understand, you know, why they've got an addiction to all this gaming. If you look at the gaming market, it's just surged. I mean, young people, if I look at the term streaming as a trend, young people are watching other people play games. They're not even playing it themselves.
It's absolutely foreign to, like, I know, for example, my dad still to this day cannot understand the appeal. Like, I've tried to explain Twitch to him a couple of times and it blows his mind completely. I'm like, Dad, it's the same as someone watching rugby. I mean, you're watching somebody else play a game. He can't understand it to this day.
You have to remember, Divan, to your dad, Twitch is a medical condition.
Yes. His eye keeps twitching.
Look, I cannot wait to dive into the how, because you've told us the what. We know what the situation is as much as we can with the little amount of time that we have with you this morning. But I think so many people are sitting on the edges of their seats wanting advice. How do we talk to Gen Zs? How do we work with them? How do we target them? And we'll dive into that right after this.
Die Groot Breakfast. Ons Groot FM 90.5.
It's Bobby van Jaarsveld, wat het ook al vat. And if I have to translate that for you in English, Marco, so wat het ook al vat, whatever it takes, because that's what we're doing this morning. I think we are at a crossroads in both social and economic spheres where we have to start asking ourselves, are we communicating in the most effective way, especially when it comes to young people? His name is Marco Stavro. He is incredible. He's the founder of GenLink, and he's here to teach us. Divan now realized that he is Gen Z, so we've got a
we've got a prime example this morning of a millennial and a Gen Z in the same office.
Yes.
Luckily, Sharling and I, we understand each other to a certain degree. Because you're not a boomer yet.
That's okay. I think, but I was kind of forced to understand or to try and understand the youth to a little bit of a larger degree, because I used to work in tertiary education, Marco. I think that's where my little bit of a difference came in. But we spoke about how Gen Zs are differently wired, not just emotionally, but physically, because of how their lives have changed. We spoke about the loneliness that they experience, even if they are part of this massive world. But what now? What am I supposed to do with this information if I am a entrepreneur, if I'm selling something? But I think also, when I have a Gen Z in my house, when I'm a parent to a Gen Z.
Well, let me answer the first question around organization. So I really think that the digitization of all communications has to be adopted. And what I mean by that is, if you're still using email to communicate to Gen Z, you're not going to succeed because they don't use email. So you have to use WhatsApp, you have to use text message, and you have to use social media. I mean, if we think about LinkedIn as a platform, for example, it used to be for job recruiting. Now it's become a social commerce platform where people are communicating ideas and sharing their story. Yeah. And I think that's a major shift that's happening across the board. If you look at TikTok, you know, I always laugh because when I speak at conferences to older folks, and I would say, raise your hand if you have TikTok. And 70-80% of the room will put up their hand. And then I say to them, well, if you are on TikTok, then don't you think other older people are on TikTok? And so across generations, we're just spending more time on social media. It's becoming such an important part of our lives. And so if the organization is not leveraging organic marketing, and what I mean organic is free, all these platforms cost zero. If you're not creating social, you know, media content, if I look at the Spa Otoniqua in George, gotten quite viral, and they're good friends of mine. And I told the family that own these spas, I said a few years ago, I said, you've got to make sure that you, when you launch the spa, that you're using social media. And they used it so well in the most natural way. They don't have high tech. They're literally just using their cell phone and creating these personas and characters. And I think that's what a lot of organizations do. I mean, if I had a meeting recently with Investec don't even have a TikTok account, you know? And so it's things like that where young people are wanting to be communicated much more fast. They don't want to speak to someone on the phone. So that's why I like AI agents where you're going to be able to just speak to, you know, an agent and get automated responses and not have to wait on a landline. Those are the type of things that young people are really wanting. And so I think from an organizational point of view, that's a really good first step. And just spend the time doing the research about where are they spending their time online, what influences are they following, and then what macro trends. I think that any learning and development office or any CMO or whoever it is can really benefit from that. And then from a parental point of view, I want to ask you guys a question. How many times do you think the average Gen Z or young person has to swipe right on a dating app to get one in-person coffee date?
Jeepers. I've no idea. Probably 20, 30 times?
I think it has to be more. If you're talking about the expectation
the
of an
average
in,
male,
the average,
how many?
I'm going to go with 90 for the 90? In-person.
Divan, is that your final answer?
Yeah, it probably depends if he's holding a fish in his profile photo or not. But I mean, like, let's, okay, I said 20 to 30, let's up it a bit. Let's make it maybe 40. I'm not going to go as high as Sharanika.
200 times.
No what? Way. Come on.
Because from those 200 times, they only match with, let's say, 50% of those people. Then they only message, they only get responses from, let's say, 40 of those people. Then they get their number from 20 of those people. And then 10 of them ghost, and then only one goes actually out with them. So what we're seeing from a parent on, just from a trans point of view, is that running clubs and padel and all these in kind of like person experiences is where young people are going now to actually build relationships. And that's why a lot of people meet their partners at university, because it's one of the few places where you can actually engage with someone in a very real, authentic way, and not the superficial, you know, online dating scene. Another interesting trend for parents to note is the decrease of alcohol consumption. So across the board, locally and overseas, we're seeing a lot of young people being very health conscious. I think a lot of this came from COVID as well, in terms of just general people getting sicker and going through diseases earlier. I mean, we're seeing young people getting cancer under the age of 30 like never before. So I think there's just this health conscious movement. And there's devices like the Whoop, which track your sleep and date. And so many young people are adopting these, you know, Hyrox. There's this big trend on Hyrox and that whole fitness thing. And so those are some of the, you know, interesting trends that we're seeing. And then even just online shopping, if we look at Temu and Shein, you know, I would say to parents, like, really try and mitigate, put boundaries in place, whether it's being on their cell phone or gaming or just watching Netflix and TV. Like, try and create environments, and it's so hard, but create communities where they can actually have friends and do things together. Otherwise, they can get addicted to these things. And, you know, it can be really sad when I meet a young person and they're addicted to pornography and they're addicted to vaping and they're just going down this path where they're not going to figure out what they want out of life, and they're not going to impact people because they're just trying to survive, you know. And this mentality of shifting from surviving to thriving is something that I'm really passionate about.
Yeah, Marco, just a general comment. Like, I'm sitting here and I'm nodding so much, Sharanika thinks my head's going to fall off. and it kind of just, I realize now why you said I'm still in that Gen Z category. When I traveled to Cape Town for work quite a bit, and literally because of that TikTok account, I visited the Oudtshoorn Bar, just like that, and the meeting, you know, your life partner in person and all of these things. Like, I relate so much to that. The big question I have for you, because I'm quite a pragmatic person, I like to put things into practical advice. So for your older generations listening now to connect with their Gen Z colleagues, their kids, they're just people in their life. I know you are a prolific pickleball player, and you mentioned
you've done your research. Well done.
It's a very quick look will tell you that. By prolific, I mean like you are in the continent in the leaderboard, so it's not that hard to find. It's not like a hobby you have at the side. You're amazing at it. But the question I have is obviously you mentioned now in person events like your Hyrox, your running clubs, your pickleball. That's that's the place where your younger generation is at. Would you advise somebody to start maybe getting a little bit more into that, to try that, to try and connect with them? Or what other advice could you give to somebody listening that says, no, I'm struggling to connect with my Gen Z colleague, I'm struggling to connect with my kid. How would you facilitate that? How would you advise them to do that?
No, I just think that unfortunately where we are from a education system and just overall work system, we just there's such urgency. We don't have time for anything anymore. You know, no one has just mental capacity and space. So I think if we could just allocate one day a week to connecting with each other, whether that's colleagues, even in workplaces, you know, trying to tell, you know, executives to say, we've got to spend more time with building relationships and figuring out where this person wants to shift. You know, the average young person leaves an organization within 2 years. They want to change roles every 6 months.
Yeah.
And yes, that can be seen as a very negative thing. But if someone's got a unique set of skills and you find them valuable, their character and that, then why lose them instead of just moving them around? And I think Discovery and Investec, you know, do this so well. So I think we just need to get out the house. We need to connect with each other more. It's very basic advice, but I think sometimes, you know, these cliche advice is the best advice, because if we can't do the basics right, then all these other, you know, going to psychologists and all these fancy educational systems, and sometimes that can just, you know, be so overwhelming, and sometimes just doing some of the basics right is really important. But I think just get involved with their world, you know, really understand what are they enduring and how do you connect with them. I see a lot of parents, you know, now playing Roblox or downloading TikTok just to see, you know, what their kids are up to, and I think that's a really important thing.
I've got a very challenging question for you, Marco, that I'm going to ask you when we come back, because our WhatsApp line is sending us some very interesting messages. And I do think that this is a challenging question that is going to completely blow the way we communicate within our offices out of the water. Right back with Marco Stavro right after this.
Die Groot Breakfast. Groot FM 90.5.
Back with the man who is, I want to say single-handedly, but no, we think of ourselves as a community going to bridge the divide that we have between generations. And this is the challenging question I want to pose to Marco Stavro, of course, the director and founder of GenLink. Literally, what they do is trying to link generations. Marco, so I told you we've got a couple of messages on our WhatsApp line, and this is one that I've not only seen on this WhatsApp line, but heard in offices, in houses, in schools perhaps. Why must older generations bend over backwards to accommodate Gen Z's in an office environment? If they choose to come and work in an adult environment, they should adapt or die.
So I get this question a lot, and I can fully understand and relate with this person in terms of the frustrations, and it often feels just like we've got no time and energy to even deal with these micro problems, you know, just fit in and get with the program. And I think there is a lot of truth to saying that there's success playbooks that organizations have developed and that experienced people have developed that we should not change, and that young people can really learn from. If I think about EQ specifically around just building relationships, engaging with clients, creating incredible value propositions, there's so much to be learned still. And so I think we shouldn't bend over backwards for any generation. At the same time, I think there needs to be a shift in mindset to say that let's reframe to saying it's one or the other, you know, it's not binary, and we actually need to collaborate to get the best results. And if we look at, you know, culture and leadership, that's what it really is listening first and asking last and speaking last, and actually just creating an environment where everyone can succeed. And then the other element of it is, it's just the reality. I mean, if you look at Africa, 60% are under the age of 25. By this year, at the end of 2025, 27% of Gen Z will make up the global workforce. So there's just no denying that young people are entering at a rapid rate, are becoming very, very powerful people in the workplace and as consumers. And so if you don't want to adapt to them, then I don't think it's them that's going to be dying. I think actually it's your organization and your opportunities that are going to be withheld. And of course, the boomers have got a massive generational wealth, influence and resources. But if you look at AI and how fast technology is moving, if you look at cryptocurrency, what it's doing from a centralized and decentralized point of view, then there is no ultimatum to say, you know, if we can just carry on doing the same way. If you look at them, there's a lot of examples that I can give of companies that have gone under and liquidated because they didn't adapt. But I think it shouldn't be one or the either. I think it should be a collaborative approach. There's an event that my investors host every year that I think everyone needs to go to called Singularity University. It's in October in Johannesburg at the Santa Convention Center. And what it does is it talks about the singularity mindset. And Ray Kurzweil, who started this event, spoke about how he believes every person should have an 18-year-old mentor. And that's one of my main investors really brought me on to his business to say, come in and reverse mentor me. I do a lot of reverse mentoring with executives and with leaders because they understand the power of learning and development and this new age of thinking that they can apply to their already existing amazing businesses. And it always confuses me when I see, you know, people who've got incredible businesses and incredible client bases who aren't using social media and who aren't using AI because opportunity cost is so great. And so I hope that answers your question.
That is absolutely insane. And I do think that a lot of companies are now spinning around in those chairs of theirs, calling board meetings and saying, let's see how we can do this. As you were speaking, I was reminded, I once read a story about Henry Ford. When he first got the first automotive mobile, he said, if I did what people asked me to do, I would only be giving them faster horses.
Yes, exactly.
And I think this is the mindset that we're going into. Marco Stavro, Genlink founder, thank you so very much for your time. I wish we could keep you here for so much longer. I do know you're going to be at our friends on Die Groot Ontbyt as well. But we're definitely going to have you back. Thank you so much for your time. And you know what? Thank you for actually investing in communication and how we can change the world from all generations. Thank you for not leaning into the stereotype of doing nothing.
Yeah, and thank you also. I think just based on this conversation this morning, you got a couple of Gen Z's jobs in Pretoria and you've increased TikTok downloads over multiple generations this morning. It was incredibly insightful speaking to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the platform. And I hope that this conversation has created hope and not fear or anxiety or anything like that. But I think we can really make a difference together. And so I'm looking forward to doing that alongside you guys.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Marco. Have a fantastic day.
Thank you, Jelle.
Die Groot Breakfast. Sterker as jou eerste oggend koffie. Groot FM 90.5.